I had a teacher named Jim Rohn. He was a personal development speaker. And I remember I was really frustrated, and I'd been working my guts out, 12, 14-hour days, nothing was working, and I was pissed off and I was frustrated. And he said, Tony, he said, you're so focused on expecting things to happen so fast. And he said, you know, if you really focus instead on building your skills, your gifts will make room for you. Today, people have no patience. We all want it right now. And people don't only not commit to mastery, they think they have all the answers, they try a few things, if it doesn't work, they run to something else. If you want a great jump in the quality of your life, an extraordinary jump in the quality of your life, you gotta set yourself up to win. You gotta set yourself up with a process that allows you to consistently grow, consistently enjoy your life, and consistently produce the results that you're really after.
Success is very simple. If you have a clear goal, make a plan to achieve it, and then do something, at least one thing each day. It moves you one step closer to your most important goal.
Progress equals happiness. If you're growing in anything, financially, spiritually, emotionally, in your relationship, in your body, you're going to feel better in your life. That's what we're made for. And I think we're meant to grow so we have something to give. You know, you can't give something you really don't have.
Form good habits and make them your masters.
Most people are interested. They're not committed. And the difference is when you're interested, you do what's convenient and what's easy. When you're committed, you do whatever it takes. When you're interested, you do what's easy and what's convenient for you. But when you're committed, I'm going to get that result, you put everything into it until you get the result.
You got to get going. You got to take action. The disciplines is the miracle process. And here's how to get the miracle of your future going as far as disciplines are concerned. Number one, do what you can. Learning is the beginning of wealth. Learning is the beginning of life change. And don't be lazy in learning. Don't be lazy in picking up the ideas. Don't be lazy in learning from your own experience.
How many times have you had a great idea, didn't do anything about it, and then a year later someone did something about it, made a lot of money, got the promotion, etc. So when you have the idea, the inspiration to act, it's time. Act. You don't have to know it perfectly.
I am strength, I am wise, and I am passion!
If you decide you're going to do something, do it. You know what, they've done dozens and dozens of studies over the years, they find that there's one major difference between successful people and unsuccessful people. As successful people launch, they start, they get on with it, they just do it. Unsuccessful people get the same ideas and the same information, but they've always got an excuse for not starting.
If you have a big enough reason why you want to achieve something, you'll do whatever it takes. But if your reason isn't big enough, your excuses will be.
And one of the things that we kind of believe and hang on to and live with is this whole idea that all of the things that happened to me in my past are what are keeping me from doing what I'd like to do today. So we hang on to these things and we fill ourselves with blame.
Because life is not so simple and black and white. My mother beat the shit out of me. She loved me. She was freaked out I was gonna leave. I was her source of everything. I blame her for all the beauty in my life. I blame her that I have the woman I have in my life because I cherish my wife because I know what the opposite is. I blame her for the capacity to feel and care. I blame her for my insatiable hunger to end suffering for any human I can. Because I suffered a ton. Get emotionally fit by learning to trade what upsets you, which is your expectations that aren't being met. Trade your expectations for appreciation for what you do have. Your whole life changes in a moment. Because our expectations make us pissed off or frustrated or worried or sad, and we all have them, and I have them too. But when they come up, I just remind myself, look, this is just my mind. I'm more than this mind. I got a heart and soul. What can I appreciate? How can I use this challenge to go to a deeper level? And that's the only way we get free. The only way to have a great life is decide, I'm gonna find beauty in anything that happens in my life. I'm sure if you look back on your life, most of us have had experiences where, you know, something horrible happens, something you never wanna go through again in your lifetime. But at the same time, you know that 5, 10 years later, you look back and go, I would never want to go through it. I would never want anybody I care about to go through that. But I'm glad I did, because it made me so strong to deal with that.
When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
What makes us suffer is our thoughts, right? We're the only creatures on earth that can have thoughts and then make ourselves feel like shit, or have thoughts and make ourselves feel good. And most people don't master their minds. And so their minds go crazy, and we believe our thoughts. We believe that if this doesn't happen, our lives are gonna be so stressed or over. And most of it is just bullshit. The mind is looking for what's wrong. Your heart can change all that. If you decide today, and if this is all I got across in this piece and I actually reached you, is for you to decide that I'm 100% responsible for the experience of my life, and that anything can happen. I am bigger than the moment. I am more than anything can happen to me, and I can find a way to find something beautiful, something helpful, something, you know, enjoyable.
Change your thoughts and you change your world. Change your expectations and you change around what you begin to manifest and see showing up in your life.
I'm not asking you to stop blaming. I'm saying blame elegantly, blame intelligently, blame effectively. Blame at the level of your soul, not the level of your head.
No more blame. I'm just not going to assign responsibility to other people for where I am, because now I have an opportunity to get rid of it. If I think someone else caused it, then I've got to wait for somebody else to change in order for me to get rid of it, and you might wait forever for that. But if I take responsibility for it, I can do something.
We look at the wealthiest people in America today, Warren Buffett, Michael Dell, of course, Bill Gates, Paul Allen, and the Walton family, all first-generation multi-billionaires. And the wonderful thing is if you do what other successful people do, you eventually get the same result that they do.
There are many ways to get the things that we want for ourselves in our lives, but basically, it all begins with how we choose to think.
If you really want to get lasting change, real results that stick around, what do you got to do? If you want lasting change, you've got to give up this idea of trying something. You got to decide you're going to commit to mastery. Most people dabble. They talk about, well, I'd like to change my body. I'd like to change, make my relationship better. I'd like to have more passion there. But they don't know what to do, and even if they did, they don't have enough detail to be able to follow through.
If we want to achieve another result that we've never achieved before, then we have to become somebody different. We have to upgrade our skills. We have to upgrade our behaviors. We have to master our emotions better.
Self-made millionaires have been studied exhaustively, they've been analyzed, they've been interviewed by the hundreds of thousands and millions, and what we know is exactly who they are and what they do and how they think. And the wonderful thing is if you do what other successful people do, you eventually get the same result that they do.
Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it, which means that you're never given a dream that comes out of your own desire place that isn't something you have the capacity to fulfill. You may have to learn some new skills, you may have to partner up with some people, you may need to learn some, you know, how to access some new resources along the way, but all of that is possible if you'll simply dream the big dream.
Have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. One of the central principles of my life is that no one knows enough to be a pessimist about anything. And that each and every one of us, when we close our mind to what is possible for us or what is possible for humanity, closes off the genius that resides and lives in each and every one of us.
Decide what you want. You can't get from here to there unless you know where here is and there is. So if you're going to decide what you want, go for what you want, not what you think is possible. Most people hone down their dream because they can't see how they can do it. And I'm saying to you, dream as big as you want. In fact, big dreams are exciting. Big dreams attract big people.
Tom Brady's on the downside of his career. And if you ask me if he'll ever get to another Super Bowl, I have one answer. No way, no how.
Does he wow you throwing the ball? Mm-mm. There were some other guys that could shoot it, and he had just an okay arm. Okay. At the combine, when you watch Tom, you saw this tall, gangly-looking kid. Looked like having ever seen a weight room. Ran a 5'2"-something. One of the slowest quarterbacks in the combine.
This is the draft report on you. Basically, it goes poor build, skinny, lacks great physical stature and strength,
lacks mobility and ability to avoid the rush, lacks a really strong arm, can't drive the ball downfield, does not throw a really tight spiral.
System type player who can get exposed if forced to ad lib.
And gets knocked down easily.
That kind of gets me fired up because I'm thinking, you know, what the hell do these people know?
Has been is obvious by, you know, six other quarterbacks taken and 198 other picks. And I always felt, you know what, once I get my shot, I'm gonna be ready. I'm gonna really take advantage of that.
It's gonna be a great comeback, guys. It's gonna be a great comeback.
Hey, rise up. Hey, take it to another level.
Michigan is continuing to try to get Henson more and more opportunities to go out there and get experience because his upside is so much higher than Tom Brady's.
Football until my freshman year, and as a freshman I was the backup quarterback on a team that was 0-8.
He wasn't deemed good enough to play one offensive play as a quarterback.
There were seven guys on the depth chart when I got there. The only reason why I played my sophomore year was because the kid who was the freshman quarterback stopped playing because I'm not playing football anymore. So I was like, I guess I'm gonna play. And I always had a decent arm, but I just really took to the game.
Against Penn State, Michigan trailed by 10 in the final minutes.
Mittens open, reaches for the touchdown, Michigan.
And the legend of the comeback kid was born.
Turns it in, touchdown, Tom Brady.
He was skinny, slow,
right?
Too pretty to be a football player. But he was smarter than everyone. And he studied night and day, day and night.
Nobody works harder than Tom Brady.
We were led to believe that he was going to be drafted, possibly second round, probably third round.
You see, you know, so-and-so get picked, and then there's nine more picks gone until one team that you think was interested. You know, that's, you get pretty anxious. It was hard. I remember taking a walk with my dad and mom around the block. It was just a tough day, you know. I just remember being there with my mom and dad. Sorry about that.
In my estimation, he's the greatest of all time.
Listen, I know who you are. You're a six-round draft choice. And I always remember he looked me like a laser eye to eye. And he said, that's right. And I'm the best decision this organization has ever made.
He's not the biggest. He was never the strongest. He was never the fastest. He was overlooked. He went in the sixth round. So with that being said, all of the intangibles that a quarterback's supposed to have, they overlooked with him because it was burning from the inside of him.
He's a winner. He has a big heart, and he doesn't like to lose.
Brady looks. Going to have to get rid of the football. Now rolls around, fires down the field. Caught, 35, 30, touchdown. Great job by Tom Brady escaping and then having the presence of mind to look upfield.
Like, when is this dude going to give up?
He ain't never going to quit. Never. So until the triple zeros hit the clock, you're going to get everything Tom Brady has.
We're going to fight.
Drops straight back to pass. He falls, gets rid of the football, and it's caught.
You never see a play like that.
I played against one of the great ones. I'm talking about the greatest of great.
I think he's one of the best in the history of this league.
To me, what separates really good players from great players, execute well under pressure. The biggest gains, the greatest stage. I think that's what playing quarterback's all about.
Brady, who tonight playing in his seventh Super Bowl, the most of any player in Super Bowl history, will be gunning for a record-setting fifth win.
He fires up, catch made by White, goes across the goal line, touchdown Patriots, throws it for Aaron Nola, touchdown Patriots, it's a one-score game, throws down the middle for Adam, the ball tipped, and Julian diving for it, can he make the catch? He did! Tom takes the snap, he bats up, hands it to White, up the middle, touchdown Patriots! Quick throw to Amendola. It's a tie game in Super Bowl 51.
I cannot believe what I'm witnessing.
So it is on to overtime. Throws down the middle in traffic. Gets by Amendola. Toss sweep right for James White. Amendola! Touchdown! And a title! They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
To beat this team and to get down 28-3, it was just a lot of mental toughness by our team, and we're all going to remember this for the rest of our life.
How many times have you heard that you can't do this, you can't do that, and it has never been done before? Just imagine if Bill Gates had quit when people said it can't be done. I hear this all the time. As a matter of fact, I love it when someone says that no one has ever done this before, because then when I do it, that means that I'm the first one that has done it. And I said to my family, I want to be a bodybuilding champion. Now you can imagine how that went over in my home in Austria. My parents, they couldn't believe it. They would have been just happy if I would have become a police officer like my father, or married someone like Heidi, who had a bunch of kids and ran around like the Von Trapp family in Sound of Music. That's what my family had in mind for me, but something else burned inside me. Something burned inside me. I wanted to be different. I was determined to be unique. I was driven to think big and to dream big. Everyone else thought that I was crazy. My friend said, if you want to be a champion in a sport, why don't you go and become a bicycle champion or a skiing champion or a soccer champion? Those are the Austrian sports. But I didn't care. I wanted to be a bodybuilding champion and use that to come to America and use that to go into the movies and make millions of dollars. So pay no attention to the people that say it can't be done. After all, I remember that after I was finished with my bodybuilding career, I wanted to get into acting and I wanted to be a star in films. You can imagine what the agent said when I went to meet all those agents. Everyone had the same line that it can't be done. The rules are different here. He says, look at your body. You have this huge, monstrous body and overly developed that doesn't fit into the movies. You don't understand. This was 20 years ago, the Hercules movies. Now there's the little guys that are in, Dustin Hoffman, Woody Allen, Jack Nicholson. And the agent also complained about my accent. He says, no one ever became a star with an accent like that, especially not with a German accent. And yes, I can imagine with your name, Arnold Schwarzenschnitzel or whatever the name is, on a billboard. Yeah, that's going to draw a lot of tickets and sell a lot of tickets. Yeah, right. So this is the kind of negative attitude they had, but I didn't listen to those rules. Even though they were very nice and they said, look, we can get you some bit parts. We can get you to be playing a wrestler or a bouncer. Oh, maybe with your German accent, we can get you to be a Nazi officer in Hogan's Heroes or something like that. But, you know, I didn't listen to orders. These were their rules, not my rules. I was convinced I could do it, that if I worked as hard as I did in bodybuilding, 5 hours a day, and I started getting to work, I started taking acting classes, took English classes, took speech classes, dialogue classes, accent removal classes I even took. And finally, I broke through. I broke through and I started getting the first parts in TV, Streets of San Francisco. Lucille Ball hired me. I made Pumping Arms, Stay Hungry. And then I got the big break in Conan the Barbarian. And there the director said, if we wouldn't have Schwarzenegger, we would have to build one. Now think about that. And then when I did Terminator, I'll be back. Became most of one of the most famous lines in a movie history, all because of my crazy accent. Now think about it, the things that the agent said would be totally a detriment and would be impossible for me to get a job, all of a sudden became an asset for me. All of those things, my accent, my body and everything. So it just shows you, never listen that you can't do something. And you have to work your way up, of course, run for something else first. I mean, it was the same in when I ran for governor. The same lines that if you work your way up, it can't be done. And then, of course, I ran for governor, and the rest, of course, is history. They said you have to start with a small job as mayor, and then as assemblyman, and then as lieutenant governor, and then as governor. And they said, that's the way it works in a political career. I said, I'm not interested in a political career. I want to be a public servant. I want to fix California's problems and bring people together and bring the parties together. So, like I said, I decided to run. I didn't pay attention to the rules, and I made it, and the rest is history. People ask me all the time, they say to me, what is the secret to success? So many young people are getting so much advice from their parents and from the teachers and from everyone. But what is most important is that you have to dig deep down and ask yourselves, who do you want to be? Not what, but who. And I'm talking about not what your parents and teachers want you to be, but you. I'm talking about figuring out for yourselves what makes you happy. No matter how crazy it may sound to the people. I spent a lot of time by myself so I could figure out and listen to what is inside my heart and inside my head. Something burned inside me. I wanted to be different. I was determined to be unique. I was driven to think big and to dream big. I always wanted to be very intense. I always wanted to be number one. I took it very seriously in my career. And so this intensity always paid off for me. This commitment always paid off for me. I didn't want to just be a bodybuilding champion. I wanted to be the best bodybuilder of all times. I didn't want to just be a movie star. I wanted to be a great movie star that's the highest paid movie star and have above the title billing. I mean, how many times have you heard that you can't do this and you can't do that and it has never been done before? I hear this all the time. I was told to my face, you're nothing but a giant muscle. You can't act. You have no future and you have an accent that is laughable. That just shows you again so much for it can't be done. This is why I try to tell you, anything and everything can be done if you can visualize it, if you believe in yourself. You're going to find the naysayers in every turn that you make. Don't listen. Just visualize your goal. Know exactly where you want to go. Trust yourself. So pay no attention to the people that say it can't be done. Trust yourself no matter how, what anyone else thinks. What is the point of being on this earth if all you want to do is be liked by everyone and avoid trouble? We have so many rules in life about everything. The only way that I ever got any place was by breaking some of the rules. It is impossible to be a maverick or a true original if you're too well behaved and not want to break the rules. You have to think outside the box. Now, of course, this journey is not going to be without any setbacks, failures, or disappointments. That's just the way life is. Don't be afraid to fail. You can't always win, but don't be afraid of making decisions. You can't be paralyzed by fear or failure, or you will never push yourself. You keep pushing because you believe in yourself and in your vision. And you know that it is the right thing to do. Success will come, so don't be afraid to fail. I always believe leaving no stone unturned. That's what makes you a champion. When you're out there partying, horsing around, someone out there at the same time is working hard. Someone is getting smarter and someone is winning. You never want to fail because you didn't work hard enough. But if you want to win, there's absolutely no way around hard, hard work. No pain, no gain. Whatever path that you take in your lives, you must always find time to give something back. Something back to your community, give something back to your state or to your country. Tear down that mirror. Tear down that mirror that makes you always look at yourself. And you will be able to look beyond that mirror and you will see the millions of people that need your help. Reaching out and helping people will bring you more satisfaction than anything else you've ever done. Trust yourself, break some rules, don't be afraid to fail, ignore the naysayers, work like hell, and give something back. I remember my mother-in-law, Eunice Kennedy Shriver. When she started Special Olympics in 1968, people said that it would not work. The experts, the doctors that specialized in mental disabilities and mental retardation said it can't be done. You can't bring people out of the institution. You can't make them participate in sports and jumping and swimming and in running. They will hurt themselves. They will hurt each other. They will drown in the pool. But let me tell you something. Now, 40 years later, Special Olympics is one of the greatest organizations in 164 countries dedicated to people with mental disabilities and with intellectual challenge. And she did not take no for an answer. And the same is when you look at Barack Obama. I mean, imagine if he would have listened. If he would have listened to the naysayers, he would have never run for president. People said it couldn't be done, that he couldn't get elected, that he couldn't beat Hillary Clinton, that he would never win the general election. But he followed his own heart, he didn't listen to the you can't, and he changed the course of American history. So over and over you see that if I would have listened to the naysayers, I would still be in the Austrian Alps yodeling. I would never have come to America. I would have never met my wonderful wife, Maria Shriver. I would have never had the wonderful four kids. I would have never done Terminator, and I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today as governor of the greatest state of the greatest country in the world. So I never listened that you can't. I always listened to myself and said, yes, you can.
I was an apprentice plumber. I did a year in that, and it just wasn't for me, you know. It's either all or nothing in the game. I mean, you have to. If you're not training twice a day, if you're not dedicated, you're not going to go anywhere.
So after that fight, when I lost, and I'm looking at all these people, and they're all celebrating my demise and saying I'm done and this, and it certainly lit a fire under my belly.
I'm a professional MMA fighter with a record of 4-1. I'm an up-and-coming fighter, and without a doubt, you will see me on the UFC in the near future.
Nobody knows what they're in for. Everybody's writing me off. Everyone has this little, you know, but they're going to be in shock. Make no mistake about it.
Trust me, I'm going to stop Floyd. You're all going to eat. You're all going to eat your words. The whole world is going to eat their words.
Every single person doubted me. Every single fighter doubted me. Doubt me now.
Champion of the world, the notorious Conor McGregor.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reigning, defending, 155-pound champion of the UFC, the notorious Conor McGregor.
could be unconscious inside one round.
Throwing this out there, which would be a mega fight. What about fighting Floyd Mayweather one day? You and he in a ring together.
In a boxing?
In a boxing match.
I'm open to discussion. Come at me. But I hold the key. I hold the key. It is me who holds the key to the fight game. I am open-minded. I'm open to discussion. I love competition. I love fighting. It would be nice to make that fight if the fans were interested and wanted to see it. Obviously, they would.
It would be a billion-dollar fight, surely.
Yeah. I'm all about them numbers, Gareth. So I would certainly do that, no problem. When you're chasing your dream and when you're working hard, chasing something you love and completely dedicated, it just happens. You can't really notice it. You know, even still to this day, I'm in an amazing position in my life, but I'm still working like I'm not. I'm still working like I'm not in this position.
Absolutely.
I'm still working like none of this is even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just something I love to do, and I just keep pushing and keep working hard. I can't pinpoint an exact moment for you, but
yep.
If anything, I always felt like it was happening way back then, and now it is happening, but now I almost feel like it's not happening. You know what I mean? And I want to push to something else.
Absolutely.
I'm always striving to push forward. So. Yeah, I don't just knock them out, I picked around, John. Yeah, I said this, I'm sure you're probably all thinking in your head, this guy is talking absolute dribble. He's not going to do what he says he's going to do. You're probably all sitting there thinking that. But now here we are again, and I done what I said I was going to do. I feed off this. I love this stuff. This is what gives me energy. Saying I'm going to do something. Saying, putting it out there for the world to see. And then going out and doing it. There's no better feeling in the world than that. And it's as easy as that. Say what you're going to do and go and do it. I've been listening to them laugh my whole career. They've been laughing. What, an Irishman win a Cage Warriors world title? Hell no. You serious? An Irishman? An Irishman win a fight in the UFC? Hell no. Laughs all around. Okay, you got to win. Now he wants to win a world title? Hell no, he's all talk, he's all hype, he's a joke. Laughter all around at the Joker. Then the Joker goes and wins the world title. Now he wants to win a second world title. More laughter. Listen, the sound of laughter and the sound of doubt motivates me. So I'm enjoying that. I seek that. I don't feel no doubt or I don't feel that. Going to fight in any of these other UFC bums right now. They need to rise up. Right now they're down there. I've got this situation where people are truly doubting me like they doubted me at the very, very beginning. And that's motivating for me. That's what's going to drive me to the gym when I need to go to the gym and to put in that work to get that win. So that's where we're at right now.
So you don't think you can? You don't think you can do it? Think again. Know you can. If you haven't done it, keep striving. Keep working. Don't let up. Things don't come easy. You gotta find it, whatever it is, within yourself. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit.
So, just because you fail, doesn't mean you're a failure, all right? So I just need you to do me a huge favor, and I just need you to keep going, try to make that one different decision that you've not made before. And then my last one is don't let the distractions distract you. I know, real simple, but don't let the distractions distract you. Failure is not an option. When you go into it, I want you to go into everything you do, listen to me, as if failure is not an option, all right? It's not a button. It's not a label. It does not exist. You can do it.
Don't let nobody steal your dream. I used to ask myself, can I do this? And something said within me, you're the one.
You're the one.
If you want to be great, not good, not also grand, not second, not third, if you want to be great, the very best at what you do, obsession is a necessity. Once you have that magnificent obsession, once you question impossible, the two keys, then when somebody like that tells you you can't do something, you have chosen the wrong one to tell something like that to. I will show you what I can do. I will show you, I will turn your I can't, I will never, I won't, it's impossible. I will turn it around and I will show you that I can do anything.